Hello, everybody. Welcome to the call. And I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving and got a chance to practice with friends and relatives. So we're going to go through a quick review. If you could get out your handouts that hopefully you were able to download, and we're going to go zipping through them. And you ready to go, Kristen?
Sure. The first teleseminar we did was on the five mistakes. And if you recall, the five mistakes are case building, storytelling, message assuming, cup stuffing, and the fatal F's. And so I was curious, are you still seeing those a lot? Or I guess you wouldn't see them, you would hear them in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, I see them a lot. My roommate's favorite word now is her favorite phrase is "my cup is full."
Oh, good.
I told her the other day that's okay because my cup overfloweth.
Oh, good.
No, I'm teasing.
You're mixing metaphors.
Of course I am. I practice listening, and listening has been very productive.
Yeah.
Was that helpful for your roommate to be able to say that and have it almost as code so you understood what was going on?
Yeah, and, you know, all kidding aside, one of the things that really helps a lot is when she says something and I say, okay, let me repeat what you're saying and what I think you're saying. And then she may clarify, and she'll say, well, that's not what I meant. Well, I said, look, I'm not a psychic. I'm not a mind reader. Tell me what you mean. And it's really helped when we don't sit there and attack each other. We just try and get our feelings and thoughts out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
very
great.
Very powerful tool. Okay, so Beth, you want to just say that again?
What I'm saying is I notice, it's so interesting how when we start to integrate something that we really even forget the source of where it came from. Because I'm remembering I had a dialogue with someone today, and I was consciously thinking, I need to make sure to empty her cup. And I wasn't thinking that, I got that from the source, you know, and I'm doing my homework. It just was automatic.
Right.
Oh, great.
I helped her, and she was, you know, and I was just taking out, and I just consciously was, okay, let me empty her cup. Let it come out. And you know, and then, you know, she was so grateful at the end of the conversation of being heard. And it was powerful. But I noticed in that one area, and I wasn't thinking, of course, from, you know, from the work we're doing, because it feels so naturally integrated now.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. You know that... A great teacher is one where you walk away going, wow, look at all the things I can do, rather than look at how great they are.
The teacher.
Yeah. So, anybody else? Anything else anybody'd like to share?
This is Canella from Miami, and my relationship with my roommates is much better, too. I guess I don't think about it consciously, like you said, to empty the cup, but, you know, I'm more of a listening, and I don't build cases. So it's helping to have more. I don't get so weird about, like, when I walk in the door and see the quote nitpick and find something wrong. And, you know, I'm sure it's more comfortable for them now, too.
Wow.
That's the practice I've been getting. And just and holding, you know, just kind of feeling grounded within. I guess that's the best way to say it, in my relationships or interactions with people. And I'm also do customer service sales, and so the listening and being with people on the phone, too, is real interesting. Also, make sure that my cup doesn't get so filled. With, like, I came home last night, and I just passed out. I was like, I was so tired of listening to people or talking to them. But, you know, it's interesting. So these are definitely powerful tools for all interactions.
Great.
Yeah, we're actually going to do a whole series on customer service just around this, on how to listen.
Oh, wow.
Connect and do that, because it is so powerful and it is so important, and it makes such a difference with customers when they feel heard. They can become a loyal customer rather than an upset one.
Right.
So the other thing I wanted to say is, I don't know, anybody on the phone play racquetball or tennis? Dennis, can you imagine switching? I normally play racquetball, and I'm normally right-handed. So this morning I was down at the gym, and I decided to play left-handed. And I looked, if I could have beat a beginner, I'm a good player right-handed, but left-handed, it was awkward and clumsy. And the only reason I'm saying that is by the end of playing for about a half an hour, I started to actually hit the ball with some consistency. It was still awkward and uncomfortable, but there was some consistency. And so what we're doing here with the five mistakes, the four steps, and today the seven keys, the seven sacred secret keys, it's like learning how to play left-handed. All of a sudden, you've been playing one way your whole life, and all of a sudden we're giving you a different way to play. And at first it's awkward and clumsy, but as you've heard from people on the call, you start to get some really interesting, amazing results, and it makes it worth kind of struggling through. So I'm just going to go ahead.
Well, before we get into that, I'd asked about the five mistakes. People had given some feedback, but I'm really curious as to how people are doing with the four steps. Are you being able to put that into use in your daily conversations? Anybody?
The truth is, this is Canella. Would you review with them? I think I know what they are, but if you could review it, then maybe I can answer better.
Oh, sure. It's stating an observation.
Okay.
Saying your feelings and connecting that to a need.
Okay, wait.
And then making a request.
Let's go through that, Kristen. I want to hear from some people what they think an observation is, so that we actually make sure that what you're hearing is what we're hoping to say.
Okay.
So
it needs to be a clear statement of fact, not something like when you're being a jerk. That's not an observation.
So when I say you never come home on time, is that an observation?
No, that's a complaint, it sounds like. Well, I guess it could be if you try to keep objective about it.
You could say when you come home later than you said you would, or later than I expected.
Right.
So,
because by saying the word never in there, you've kind of lost them right there. If they ever came home one time on time, then it blows your argument right out of the way. And it gets into case building.
Right.
So the thing you may want to do, and the last handout, or one of the last handouts that we're giving out today, has got all the steps on it, so you can they get posted up on the refrigerator or any place that you can get at them quickly. When in need, you can zip right over there, grab them off, say, hold on a second, honey, wait a minute, here we go. So,
and the two of you who couldn't open up your attachments today, mm-hmm. they don't have them. So we'll have to figure out, maybe I can figure out a way to get those into emails to you guys tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. So go ahead, sweetie, that was observation.
Observation, feelings, and making sure you're staying in actual feelings, because a lot of people might get confused. If you say the words, I feel that, I feel like, you're about to say your thoughts, not your feelings. Or there's surface level emotions. I feel manipulated, I feel betrayed, I feel used. Those are all not connecting emotions. That's the easiest way. They're more actions than emotions. You want to stay with I feel sad, happy, angry, hurt, disappointed. Those are all emotions.
Okay.
Follow that with what you're needing. I'm needing connection. I'm needing contribution. I'm needing understanding, integrity. And this is the most challenging one for me, and I think for most people, is to end on a request. Would you be willing to? Would you be willing to tell me what you heard me say? Would you be willing to tell me how you feel when you hear that? Would you be willing to take the trash out? So any questions on the four steps? Is, Is everybody ready to charge into the seven secret sacred paths to a relationship oasis?
Yeah. For sure.
We'll charge down the path. Okay, so on the seven secret keys, the first key to a wonderful relationship is making it easy to win for the other person. And the idea behind that is that a lot of times our old ingrained behaviors make it really difficult for the other person to win. We do things that just set the other person up to lose all the time, to be wrong, to be stupid. We become really critical. So we're making it really hard for this person to win in the relationship. And one example might be, my family was never very good with expressing appreciation. And so poor Paul has to ask, did you appreciate that? You know, can I get some feedback here? And that makes it hard for him to win. If I could just go ahead and express my appreciation, then he would know he was winning. Any other examples, sweetie?
Well, I'd actually like to ask everybody listening for some examples. Where has one of your lovers in your life made it hard for you to win? Does this terminology even make sense to the people who are on the call? Hard to win, easy to win. Hard to win.
Yes. This is Cannell. I can relate to it in that, you know, I can make my roommate wrong for her feedback, you know, her concerns or her whatever, emptying her cup, and or I could hear it and, you know, make it that she can win out of it.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
Well, with my family, it was the hard to win part was never good enough. For my dad, it was very hard to win with him because it was never good enough, never right. You could have always done better. And part of that, there's an underlying desire to help motivate people to try harder. And rather than making people try harder, very often it makes them want to quit.
True.
That's what it made me want to do. I need to have some wins or I'm not going to want to play this game anymore. Not every time, but it's got to be enough. That it
Can
makes
I say
it worth-
something, Paul?
Yeah.
The challenge that I have is not winning. It's letting us both win.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a winner and a loser, you both lose. Because the
loser,
the loser, sooner or later, is going to get even.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because in my description, there's no intent of win-lose. It's win-win. It's not making it easy for my partner to win over me or for me to win over her. It's to win together. How do we both win this game? And here's going to be a paradigm shift right here. If you want to think about this for a second, what game are you playing in your relationship? Are you playing a big game or a little game? Sometimes the game is, how can I make my partner wrong? How can I force them to take out the trash or do the dishes? How can I force them to see it my way? Versus a big game is, how can I have this person experience more love than they've ever experienced before? How can I experience more love than I've ever experienced before? How can we make this a game where we both win extremely well, or large, or huge? So some days I play a very small game called get even, be petty, all the rest of that. And it's just being able to recognize, oh, that's the game I'm playing, and is this really the game I want to play? So another thing to think about here is at the beginning, when you start a relationship, your beloved can bring you a pebble from the beach. And you go, oh, a pebble for me? Now, see, that makes it easy to win. Later on, they bring you a car, and you're going, oh, wrong color.
So, what do you do when the other person's playing get even all the time?
Well, you try to figure out what's underneath that, what's driving that, because all of our behavior, there's a perceived payoff. And so get even is often the game that they're trying to play there is a desperate attempt to get empathy for the pain they're in.
Mm.
And the Palestinian-Israeli game right now is I want you to know how much pain I'm in and how much I've suffered, so I'm going to make you suffer. So it's called get even.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and wow, that's an amazing distinction. I'm sorry, go ahead.
How so?
Say more.
Well, just that, you know, the suffering part, I never thought about getting even is that because they're suffering, they want you to feel that. It's almost like you have to be empathetic to their pain.
Absolutely.
So they're going to make you feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a desperate attempt. I mean, how more desperate can you be than to be a suicide bomber? That's a desperate attempt for you to feel my pain. And then it gets retaliated. And what we need, really, in the Middle East right now is a group of people who can go in and give incredible empathy for the intense suffering on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Not go in and decide who's right and who's wrong, who's the good people, who's the bad people. That will just expand the amount of suffering. So how could we make it easy for them to win, both sides, the Israelis and the Palestinians? Anyway, that's the big picture. That's playing a really big game. So do you get the idea behind number one? And we're going to have to crank if we're going to get through all seven.